Okay, so I'm reading from Genesis chapter 26, and starting at verse 12. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold, because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarrelled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarrelled over that one also, so he named it Sitnah. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarrelled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will bless you and increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. Hugh is going to speak.
And look, I wrote it down on a heart for her to do it, so it was very kind that she was willing to do that. Right. Yeah, well, good morning, everybody. Nice to see you. I'm making reference this morning to a verse that you'll probably almost, if you've been around church, which most of us have been, for a bit, that we're quite familiar with. It's because it kind of sums up what Jesus does for us in our lives. And it's John 10 and verse 10. And it's where Jesus says, "The thief, who is a picture of the devil, comes to steal, kill and destroy. But I," said Jesus, "have come that these young people here may grow up and have life in all its fullness." And so there are two things in play. There is a good God. There's a bad devil. Yeah, that's simple, isn't it? Good God who wants to give us life. Bad devil who wants to take it from us. And I want to say, first of all, this morning, that God has called you to life. He's called you to live, not die. "I will not die, but live," says Psalm 118. Can we say that together? "I will not die, but live and proclaim the works of the Lord." So let's just underline this and get this as a foundation, please, straight away, that God's desire for you is to live, to be productive, to be healthy, to make progress, to succeed, may I say. I don't believe in a prosperity gospel where everything is perfect and wonderful and shiny, and nothing ever bad happens to you. But I do believe in a God who prospers us. A God who makes things work. A God of life. A God who gives success, not death and failure, to you today. And in this passage that Liz read from Genesis, similarly, there are two things in play. There is the incredible blessing of God on the one hand. Let me read it where she started reading, verse 12. "Isaac planted crops in the land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. And so here we are, a kind of picture of you and me in life, that we're really blessed by God. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way when you get up on Monday morning and you want a few more hours sleep, does it? Yeah? But when we read what Paul says to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And even when Paul is being beaten up, stoned, left for dead, he says this. He says, you know what, 2 Corinthians 6, he says, you know what, in this life, we've got rags on our backs. I don't know where my next bit of bread's coming from. But you know what? We've got everything. We've got everything. And do you know what? However you feel today, whether you're up or on a down or you're in between, let me tell you this. In Christ, you've got the lot. You've got it all. We really have. That's the truth. Sometimes we don't feel like that. And see, part of the problem for us as Christians is the blessing of God makes us targets, in a way. Or the blessing of God attracts the wrong kind of attention sometimes. And the wrong kind of attention was being attracted. Here was Isaac prospering, doing well. God was blessing him, and the Philistines hated it. And the Philistines in the Bible, there are types in the Bible. And the Philistines are like a type of the devil, okay? And we know Peter says the devil roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, the good news is, for the most part, we're protected. The Bible tells us that. It says in Psalms that this is what the psalmist says with a revelation from God. He says, "Surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favour like a shield." And so we have a protection around us. The devil roams around like a roaring lion, says Peter. Resist him, he'll flee from you. So praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for the protection. And I know at times in my life I can't prove it, can I? How can you prove it? I was chopping somebody's tree down once, which I like doing. So if you've got any trees you need chopping down, yeah, I'm your man. And anyway, the wind was blowing, and I may have told you this, put the ladder up against the wall, and the wind was really howling around. That stupid thing. We do stupid things in life, don't we, sometimes? I do stupid things in life. And Liz is very quick to let me know about them as well. I'm deeply grateful for that. And I've got to the point now in life where I listen, and that helps. Thank you so much. I know. Anyway, this wind was howling past my chainsaw. It was going right like that. And past my ears. I thought, everything's honky-dory here and this is great. And then almost right next to me, smack on the floor, these heavy ladders. These were not modern aluminium lightweight ladders. These were massive heavy ladders, right? And they were smack on the ground like that. Just about that far away from my head. I tell you this, if that had gone my way on my head, I would not be here now. I think I'd have been crippled. I'd have been like a Superman who fell off a horse and, you know, and was in... seriously. And it's just things like that. I'm just conscious of God's protection on my life. I'm sure you are too. But there are some exceptions to this protection in some ways. Can I just be real with you? Can I just be honest? Because sometimes it would appear that the enemy does get through and bring harm. I think of pioneers, and Molly's here this morning, and you know Heidi Baker. Are you having a nice time? Are they nice? Nice and tasty, those crisps. That's good. You eat. It's excellent. Anyway, Heidi Baker, she breaks ground. She takes territory from the devil. She goes into Africa, a bit like Stephen Molly did in Cambodia. Thank you. Goes into a village. And because of environmental problems, diet, can't afford hearing aids, a lot of deaf. So she goes in, doesn't she? Is this right? prays for the sick, all get healed. Yeah, all right. So, oh, you got my attention. What are you talking about? Play the Jesus movie, how you can become a Christian, get saved. Most of them, or all of them, get saved. Brilliant. Moves on to the next village, does the same thing. Yeah, right. Okay, pioneer, breaking territory. Devil hates it. Heidi's got quite a battalion around her of angels. But managed to get through. This is my thought. I may be wrong. But you know Heidi's husband, Roland, who got severely ill with a mental issue, and it floored him. Is he getting better? Yeah. Oh, good. Couldn't get at Heidi. I remember someone saying about Derek Prince, who was up preaching, and they had a vision of three big tall men around him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Couldn't get at her, but he managed to get in through the back door somehow. And if you start taking territory for God and moving forward, the devil will try his utmost to breach that protection that we have. But let me tell you this. Oh, could we have the video? Have we got that video, Pete? Thank you. Sorry, someone has. Can I just say this? Stop. Pause. Sorry, I meant to say something else. Sorry. It's just this. That's right. So the enemy can get in that way. But look, don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Because this is another way that the enemy, like the Philistines, can get in. Play the video now, if that's all right, Trev or Sarah. Thank you. I've shown you this before, but it's so funny. I thought I'd play it again.
And see, I got these drums that I want to talk to you guys about. I have a whole lot more to tell you, but I don't have a whole lot of time. I got these guns. I have a gun on my side right here. Just this week, at the beginning of the week, a young boy, not even 16 years old, was killed because he was playing with a gun. And see, this is an unloaded gun. Right here, this is a gun. No. Empty weapon. This is a Glock 40. 50 cent, too short. All of them talk about Glock 40. Okay, I'm the only one in this room professional enough that I know of to carry this Glock 40. I'm the only one.
I shot myself.
Okay, I'm the only one in this room professional enough that I know of to carry this Glock 40. I'm the only one.
I shot myself.
No more hands. Everybody all right? You all right? Now, listen. Boss. Yeah. I had an AD. Yeah, I'm here. Listen up, guys. But, listen up. And I made a mistake. So listen to me. Guys, listen to me. Yeah, listen to me. See that how the accident happened? It can happen to you, and you can be blown away. Okay? So guys, never play with guns. See how accidents happen? They happen. Okay, now I'll probably never be able to show guns again. But Brian, bring that other gun out, Brian. Brian.
Well, that's back. So, yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's a good laugh. But the point is, it's good if we try and avoid shooting ourselves in the foot. And Paul says in Ephesians 4, he says, don't give the devil a free gift of a foothold into your life. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. How? Well, by consciously sinning and keep on sinning and not doing anything about it. Paul was talking about anger, actually. Being so angry with somebody and not forgiving them. Giving the devil a foothold in your life. Access through the armour, through the barrier that God gives you. You know, and sometimes we can go in life and there are things that we have a choice. We can choose to go God's way or go our own way. You know, we can. And I'm talking about here things that you know is wrong, but you choose still to do them. It's very clear, you know. I'm not talking about things that may be or may not be sin. Yeah, I'm talking about things that are very clear. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life to breach your protection before God. There are other things that oppose us and that can be things that can harm us. And it says that the Philistines blocked up Isaac's wells with earth. And other things that come our way are things of life. Like, for example, my desires and your desires. My ambitions, your ambitions. You see, there's two kinds of people, basically. One is someone says, you know what, I want that in my life. I want to get that. I want to achieve that. I want to go that way. I really want that. Could be a career, could be a whatever. Then there's the other person who abandons themselves to God's will in their lives. Priority number one, yeah, I want that. But priority number one, I need to make sure that what I'm doing and the priorities of my life are what God wants for me. Two kinds of people. And in Hebrews, it talks about things that hinders. It says, throw off things that hinder and sin that so easily entangles. Run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I find in my life, particularly just at this moment in time, there are lots of demands on me. There are lots of things tempting me to go in a certain way. And actually, none of the things I'm talking about are sin at all. Do you know what? I'm a builder. I love building things. I want to build my own house. I've got a project on at the moment. I've just dreamed it up. Well, we've re-dreamt it. Attic conversion. But we could go even further out and put a further extension on and do that. When we told Vicky this, she said, effectively, reading between the lines, you twit. What are you doing chasing after all that nonsense for? You don't need that. Can't help it. Can't help it. At Christmas, Liz bought me some new socks. And on there are RAF aeroplanes. Spitfires. In fact, they're on. Well, another thing I love doing, right, it may surprise you, is making radio control model aeroplanes and flying them. And in my dotage, as I move more and more in that direction, I would love to get him back into that and fly these radio controlled aeroplanes and gliders and stuff like that. Now, none of these things are sin, right? It's not simple to build a loft conversion Vicky. And there's nothing wrong with my aeroplanes on my socks and the desires I have in that area for radio-controlled models. But the issue is, I've only got a certain amount of time in this life, and there are so many things that can pull on me and make me go in a certain direction, and I don't want to be tripped up with things. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to enjoy the things that God gives me, but I really want, and I'm praying a prayer as I'm saying this, to stay focused on the Lord, that he is my number one priority, and I want time, number one, set aside to serve God, do his will, and all the other things can either disappear, or if God gives me time and grace to do them, then I'll do them. Otherwise, I'll just keep staring at my socks with aeroplanes on and make do with that. So things get in the way, block our wells, the wells that give water, that gives life to us. And God has his life that supersedes all other life, and he wants us to have that. Another thing that can block our wells are worry and anxiety. Did you see the clip about the celebrity who had everything? Money, family, the lot. But he came out about the fact that he was overcome with anxiety and fear in his life, and it nearly reduced him to rubble, to nothing. Another thing is disappointment and failure in life. Other people in here, full of a sense, gripping disappointment. It's like a darkness over you. Disappointment and failure in some area of your life. Is there? I bet there is. worry and anxiety, disappointment and failure, misplaced ambitions. I wonder if there are things in here today where you are chasing after something that's actually not helpful for you. It's not helpful to your life in God. It takes you away from a destiny that you somehow know that God has for you. Genesis 26, verse 16 to 17. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You've become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away. I feel this is the word of the Lord. And that is, God wants you to move away from some things in your life. Or, let me be more specific. There are things in different people's lives that you need to make a decision today. What are you going to do about that thing that is dragging you away? They went to Gerar. Gerar is an interesting word in Hebrew. It comes from a root which means to be dragged away. And the devil seeks to steal, kill and destroy. He seeks to drag you away from the source, the well of living water, which is him and his spirit in your life. And I want to ask you this question. I just want to ask you this question. So what is dragging you away? What is seeking to tear you, pull you, distract you away from the plan, the destiny that God has for you? Because he's got a destiny for you. Sometimes you just got to make a decision. Walk away. Mistakes you made in the past that still haunt you today. Could be. I don't know. Controlling influences from your early life that seek even to control you today. Harmful influences in your life now. Can I say this? Are you in a relationship now that's actually doing you more harm than good? Considering going into a relationship that... There we are. Habits that actually do you more harm than good. Some things we need to walk away from. They've got a controlling, holding influence on you, and you know it. And so it's not just a matter of making a decision. You need God's strength. And this is where, I just want to say, David was talking about the love of God. This is where the love of God is today. Because God sees you struggling with that habit. He sees your desire to be free from it. And he so loves you that he's prepared to come to you and give you the strength to move from that. But you've got to decide that you want to be free from that thing today. Somebody said a decision is half the victory. It is, because you see, some people hover without making a cast iron decision. Well, I can put up with that thing. It's all right. I'll put up with it. Actually, you know what you need to do? You need to walk away from it. You need to be free from that thing completely. Don't let its tentacles hang on to you any longer in your life. And you know what I mean. I don't need to say examples. Isaac moved away from there. Then in verse 18, and I'm just going to pray at the end in a few moments, for people who need to make that decision to move away. You might need to move away from a relationship. You might need to not go into a relationship. A habit may need to be kicked. Verse 18. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Now, the devil wants to steal your destiny. He wants to death you, right? God wants you to live. The way the devil does that is by stealing your identity. He tries to put a different name on you. You see, God's up there with looking down on you. He calls you so-and-so. The devil is at the side trying to put his name on you. Isaac named the wells with their real name. See, the devil would call you this. He'd say, failure. A nobody. Not loved. Not wanted. A loser. Incompetent. Irrelevant. Go and get in your coffin, put the lid on and say goodbye. That's the devil's destiny. He names you that way. But you know what? For some of us, it's time to claim back our God-given identity. How he sees you and me today. And you know what? It's the exact opposite of those things. How can I say that? Well, let me just give you an example of how God renamed some people in the Bible in Isaiah. He says, no longer will they be called deserted. How dare you call them deserted? Or name your land. You're not going to be desolate. You're not deserted. But you will be called Hephzibah, my delight. And your land, Beulah, married. So you're not someone who nobody wants to marry. You're the polar opposite. You're highly attractive. Morning. Thank you. What do we do? Keep this on and keep talking down here. It's stereo. This is how God calls you. He says you're a VIP. You're destined for success. You're my beloved. You're not unwanted, you're very much wanted. You're very much wanted. You're a winner. And as Steve said, if I can quote him again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're a person who wields significance in this life. That's God's name. And your destiny is connected to your name. And that's what God calls you. And don't believe the rubbish that the devil puts on you. It's rubbish. Let me say it again. You're destined to succeed. You're a very important person. You are the beloved of Almighty God. You're very much wanted. God names you a winner. And he even says in Philippians, you can do all things through Christ who strengthened you. You're a person of significance in this world. The road you live on is lucky to have you living on it. Your neighbours are lucky to have you living next door to them. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope. The enemy may come in like a flood and seek to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come, says Jesus, to give life in all its fullness. And then in verse 19, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. It's a particular name, and it's lovely in Hebrew. Shall I tell you what it is? It's Ma'im Kaim. Ma'im Kaim. Living water. And it's Jesus used that term, living water, in John 7, when he said, well, the writer said, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. That's you. It's me. We're the recipients of the spiritual life and water flow of God that brings life, not death, to you. Life to Anne. Life to Anne. Life. Life and well-being. In Jesus' name. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley. A valley is typically a place of darkness, of loss, at the bottom of the world, the end. But there, it's there he discovered a well of living water. And so what I'm saying to us this morning is, if you're in a valley, don't despair, rejoice. When you're down, you're up, actually. That's where the living water can be found today. And if you say, I'm at the end of myself, well, that's good. That's a good place. Remember when Joe was sharing? I'm weak, said Paul. Actually, yes, my grace is made complete in that situation. You're strong. You're strong. Lord, let your living waters flow. I wonder if the worship team, would they mind just coming up and think of something appropriate, maybe, that we could see. I don't know what, Pete, but you're very good at that. Without putting pressure on. And then in verses 20 to 21, it says this. There was a setback. It says, but the herdsmen of Gerar quarrelled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named it Esek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarrelled over that one also, named it Sitnah, which means dispute. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought you were in the clear, you thought you'd got an answer, and then, whack, you get knocked back? I thought I'd got that sorted. I thought I'd got healing. I thought that was all okay now. And then you get hit back. Do you know what? It's at that point, it's the strongest point in your life ever to give up. If you get a double, some people get a triple, some people a quadruple setback. Nobody said it would be easy. Nobody said it would be plain sailing. We have an enemy. We have opposing forces. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And so, Lord, I just say to anybody here today, and I think there is someone here who this fits, who said, I've had a setback and another and another and another. Please, 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 do not give up. Do not give up on your faith. Do not give up on hope. Because God will come through to you. Because the final place in this journey is Rehoboth. And do you know what Rehoboth is? Eventually they get to a place. It's called Rehoboth. Saying, now the Lord has given us room. And we will flourish in the land. Let me tell you, we've heard a lot lately about breakthrough. And I want to say to you today that breakthrough is God's ultimate destination for you in your life. Into life. Breakthrough. So you're struggling. We all struggle. We all go through times of big struggle, little struggle, but it's only just around the corner. Struggle wherever we are. Setback. Problem. But God is greater. And the key is access to the living water. And if you're in a valley, you dig. You come in faith to Jesus today and you say, Lord, you're my life-giving source of water. I trust you. That's it. That's it. The water starts coming. Say, Lord, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. And one last thing, in the last verse that we read there, he did this. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. An altar is a place of commitment, you say. And he pitched his tent there, which meant, I'm staying. So we say, Lord, I just want to come before you today. I want to believe in you. I want to reaffirm my trust to you. This is where I'm going to stay. And I want to call on your most wonderful name because you're the source of life. Jesus, you're the life giver. You are the way for me. You're the way forward. I have this problem and that. I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to do there. There's been setback. There's been difficulty. There's been throwback. You name it. God, I commit myself to you. I just want to walk with you. I don't know what I'm doing, God, but help me. I just call on your name. Is that you? I wonder if we might all stand just as we close this morning. And I'd just love to pray for you this morning as we close. And ask you to do like what David asked us to do last week. We should put our arms out in front of us. And let's call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, we give you praise today. We give you thanks, oh God, that you have called this congregation to life, not death. Life and not death. You have called us to win in you. You've said that all the things you call us and destine us to do, you say we can do all those things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do. So God, I just pray for each one of us today, myself included. Father, as we call upon the name of the Lord, that you would come to us. And in that valley, if those that are in a valley of darkness and uncertainty and problem, difficulty, setback, oh God, that's where they dug and the living waters came up. Jesus, you are the life giver. You've called us to that. And so, Lord, we receive now. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as you promised, that those who would later believe would receive. And so, therefore, on the basis of your word, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, upon us now by your Spirit. Bring faith, bring hope, bring trust in you, Lord. And, oh God, I pray where the devil has been whispering into the ears of some of these people, get out of here. In the name of Jesus, devil, get out. Holy Spirit, will you come now and fill your people to overflowing with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.